I want to use some scripture this morning from the 12th chapter of 1 Corinthians. And I actually want to begin with about the 12th verse, but I'm going to back up and read you the first 12 verses. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. You know that ye were Gentiles carried away unto these dumb idols, even as ye were led. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus a curse, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord, but by the Holy Ghost. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same Lord which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, and to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these workers, that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. For as the body is one, and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. I'm going to stop right there, and I'm going to read the rest of it to you, because but you all know that most of the time I'll read a little bit and talk a little bit and then read a little more. I want, because we are effectively observing the completion of our 165th anniversary with our service today, and I want to be extremely careful as to how I word that, because we're not ending our church because we finished that year. Hopefully, we are just embarking on the next 165 years for those that are to come. But there's some things I think probably that are important that we understand. And one, probably number one, is that we need to be thankful that God has been merciful enough down through the years to see fit to leave one of his churches here in this little community, and that you and I have the privilege of being a part of this church. There have been, as we have learned this past year, many struggles that this church went through over the years. Hardships that many of our forefathers experienced, that you and I could have the privilege of being here this morning. And so we need to be thankful to them for their commitment, for their dedication, and their faithfulness unto the Lord that has permitted the preaching of the gospel to continue in this place. And then we certainly need to be determined that as long as we are here, that we are going to continue to see that this work goes on. Not my work, not your work, but the Lord's work, that it continues to prosper and it continues to be done here among the people in this community. It is certainly a privilege to me to be able to be here this morning and to have served here for the number of years that I've had the opportunity to be here. And I thank the Lord for that privilege. I've had a lot of questions over the years as to why me. But the Lord knows exactly why better than I do. And so I have to accept that he knows better than anything. The church has not always done everything that I've approved of. but neither have I done everything the church has approved of. And that is part of life. The good thing about that is that God has given you all enough patience and enough love and enough understanding to endure my wanderings off from the right and the left. And there certainly has been a sufficient amount of grace that God has given me to say, you know, what you all have done that maybe I wasn't 100% behind is nothing in comparison to what you have been able to put up with me about. So I am indebted to you as a church. I want to be sure that we understand as a church that we have an obligation as well as a privilege to be able to continue the work here. And it is an obligation. I hope that you don't take it lightly. I fear sometimes that we get a little lackadaisical in our attitude about what needs to be done and how it needs to be done. There is no substitute for the word of the Lord. None. It doesn't make any difference how many programs we have, how many different meetings we have, how many committees we have, and how many everything else we have. We get right back to that we need to be able to substantiate what we're doing by the word of the Lord. And we need to know why we're doing it. Not just what we're doing, but why we're doing it. And certainly, God left his church here in the world to proclaim the gospel, to preach the gospel, and to teach and to baptize. The Great Commission, and we all know what that is. And so we need to be sure that we're on that. What I want to talk about a little bit this morning in particular is each one of you. I learned a long time ago that it doesn't do any good to preach to those who aren't here. They don't hear you, and you can't do much about them. And you can't preach what should have been, what could have been. You've got to preach what thus saith the Lord to those who are here. And the thing that I want you to understand this morning, that God has a purpose in every single one of you being here. And he has a purpose for your life. Now, most of us are getting older to where that we're thinking, well, you know, my purpose is almost over. And I may, by this point in time, if I haven't figured out, have missed the boat. But don't you kid yourself for a second. You know, it is not always my seniority. Joyce asked me just before the service how many years I'd been here. And I said 22, I think. I don't know. Is that about right? Close? Some of you have probably seen like 200, but anyway, I've not been there quite that long. But seniority is not what counts in the work of the Lord. We need to understand that. There are not many of you who were here when I came here 22 years ago. There are even fewer of you here when I was here in 1958. So that will kind of put everything in perspective here. But let me assure you this morning that because of all of those years and anything in between does not entitle me to any more privilege than you have as a child of God, right down to the latest member of this church. In a Baptist church, you all are equal. And that's not just because Baptists say that. That's according to the word of the Lord. But when it comes to the government of the church, you are equal. If there is anyone who is not equal with you, it's me. Because I do not have the vote that you have. And that's the only time that I see there's an exception in whether or not we all are equal. Now, just to be sure that, because I recognize that there's more than just you all who are probably going to check this out, but just to be sure that you understand, I do have a vote. But it's only if there is a tie vote in the congregation and they're voting on something. And let me tell you something, as little as I know and as ignorant as I am, one thing I learned a long time ago, you do not vote when you've got 50 on this side and 50 on that side, because when you vote, you've just alienated the other 50. So don't ever think you're going to put me in the spot of being the one that's going to say, well, he makes the deciding vote because I will not do it. You 50 on each side can go back and fight a little longer. That's. But anyway, all kidding aside, we Baptists are known for our fussing and fighting. And I don't say it's a wrong. The thing about us is that we're right open about it. I don't know of another church, and I've been to several different ones, and I know a lot of people in different churches. I don't know of one of them that don't have some problems. Most of them just want to keep them quiet. They don't want them to get out. And a lot of our Baptist churches are that way. Let me tell you something. If you're going to do something, you better be prepared for it to be on the front page of the Springfield paper or the index out of Hermitage. You know, that's the way you ought to live your life, and that's the way a church ought to be. So that if you're ashamed of it going to be there, then you probably ought to be given second thought as to whether or not you're going to do it. And we as a church are the same way. You know, certainly we're going to have our differences. I've got a little more time this morning. I'm probably going to take it. The reason I say I've got a little more time, as I said earlier, this service is not going to stop at 10:30 this morning. So now, so be sure you understand that. I've got all the way up till 11:30. I'm not going to take all that time. But anyway, that was the plan of the committee, which, by the way, I want to thank, because that committee, as of today, will have fulfilled their obligations, and they are disbanded after we finish our service today. But that committee has done a tremendous job over the past year. It's been a lot of time, a lot of energy and, that they have used in making this a successful anniversary year. So thank you to each one of you committee members along that line. As a church, we are blessed here. Because I've talked a little bit about the fussing and the fighting and everything, and we've had a few. I'd be lying to you if I were to stand up here and tell you not. But I don't know that we've not been able to reconcile those differences and come together and to carry on for the good of the cause of Christ. And that's what counts. That's what it's supposed to be about. As the body is one and has many members, and all the members of that body, of that one body being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For if by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. That Spirit is capitalized. That means the Holy Spirit of God. You didn't get saved any different than I did. I didn't get saved any different than you did. People in the Old Testament got saved the same way that you and I got saved. People in the New Testament are getting saved the same as you and I are today. And people in the future will be saved the same way we are. There's not two different sets, two different plans of salvation. There's always just been one. And we are all saved by the same person. That is the Lord Jesus Christ. We are all led by the same Spirit. That is the Spirit of God Almighty, from God out of heaven the Father. And so whenever that we get this idea, and let me tell you this, God does not lead people wrong. God does not lead people contrary to His Word. God does not contradict Himself in His Word, and He does not contradict Himself in the actions that He takes in the lives of people. Whenever we get into those situations, somebody is not following the Spirit of the Lord. And I'm not going to say who, because I don't always know. It may be me sometimes. It has been me at times. I know that. But we need to understand that God saved all of us exactly the same. You know, whenever that we tell our experiences, they're all a little different. Every one of us have a little different experience whenever God saved our soul. But it took the Lord Jesus Christ to save us. We all got saved at the same place, not at Wheatland High School, not in the Elkton Baptist Church, but at the foot of the cross. That's exactly where we all had to get before that our souls were redeemed. Anyway, Paul writing here to the church in Corinth, and this is the most interesting church, probably in my opinion, in the Word of the Lord. But it's only one of many churches that the Lord established here in the world. And I'm thankful, as I said earlier, that we are one of those that he has established here in the world. We're not the only one. And certainly we'd be foolish to try to present that. Now listen, he said, for the body is not one member, but many. You need to understand that. There are a lot of preachers today who have set themselves up to be a dictator in the church. Everything has to run through them. Everything. Doesn't make any difference how small or how major it is. It's got to go through the pastor. Well, that's not according to the word of the Lord. That is not the way it was practiced in the early church. And so whenever you hear that, you just need to be suspect right away. You don't need that. You don't have to come to me about 3/4 of the things that you do, because I don't have any more power than anybody else does. There are times whenever that I appreciate the fact that people have the confidence in me, but let me assure you that you are just as important as a member of this church as any other member, and as I am. It takes all of the members to make the body. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? Now, I like the way that Paul writes this. You know, he makes this so simple and so plain that you and I can understand it. Now, not everybody's going to run around and say, well, I'm not the foot. I'm not the foot. No, but many of you are going to run around and say, well, I'm not so-and-so, or I'm not this, I'm not that in the church. So, well, let me tell you something. I'm going to read you a verse here in a few minutes, and if I don't get you to remember a single other thing today, I hope you will remember this. God hath placed the members in the body as it hath pleased Him. So if you're a member of this church, you're here as a member because God placed you here as it pleased Him. You know what? He didn't ask me about one single one of you. Most of you have become members here since I've been the pastor. Just very few. I think I can count on one hand. I believe I can. Get awful close. Now, those of you who were here when I came here 20 plus years ago. But the Lord sure didn't ask me about you guys, Ron, because He was here before I was. There's two of them. For every single one of you that have come since then, the Lord never asked me whether or not you should become a member of this church or not. Now, there are some pastors and there are some preachers who've got this idea that unless they get their approval upon the people, they're not going to become a member of the church. Well, let me tell you something this morning. When it comes to the time that I have to ask somebody else whether or not I can become a member of the church other than the church body, then I will guarantee you I'm getting in the wrong spot. I believe with everything there is about me this morning that God has placed you here for a purpose. God has blessed you with a talent. And whether or not you use that talent or not is entirely up to you. But I'm thoroughly convinced that God did not have any other purpose than His purpose in placing you here. And we need to be able to understand that. And for every other member of this body, that needs to be your thought processes too, that every single one of these other members are important in this body. They may not all sing. They may not all testify. They may not all preach. They may not all pray. They may not be anything that you see here in the service, and some of them do. But I'll guarantee you this one thing. God has blessed every single one of them with a talent. And if they'll take and use that talent, God will get glory out of it. And the church will be blessed. Because I am not the hand, I'm not of the body. Is it therefore not of the body? Or if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body. Is it therefore not of the body? Is the whole body, if the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? See, it takes every one of these, every one of you, and nobody can take your place. Nobody. But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? You can't all be exactly alike. We spend a lot of time trying to get everybody to think alike, act alike, look alike, be alike, instead of saying, you know what, you are a unique individual that God made only one like you. Not a single other one. My mom was an identical twin. And I've said probably right up until the time of her death that she and her identical twin sister, when I listened to them on the phone, I had to listen very carefully. Their voices sounded so much alike. They went up through a period of time as they got, when they were very young, they were identical. Then they got a little older, while you could tell them more apart. But then as they got older, they started looking more alike again. And there wasn't any question about whether they were identical twins. But they were different. They were different. Every single one of you are unique. You may, every once in a while someone will say to me, man, I saw you somewhere the other day. And I said, you didn't see me because I wasn't there. Well, I saw someone look just like you. And I thought, well, a poor person. But they didn't see somebody. They thought somebody maybe was similar. But we're all unique. And you know what? God saved us as that unique individual that he made us. He knew everything about me before I was saved. He knew everything about me after I've been saved. And he knows everything about me that's going to happen in the future. He knows that. So, well, I don't know whether I know he does. I believe in the foreknowledge of God. I certainly I do. I think he knows what's going to happen. Anyway, he said, and the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. Now see, if you're that one that's running around, well, I'm just one poor little member of the church here, and nobody appreciates me, nobody knows anything about me, anything, and I'm just going to sit here and cry a little bit, feel sorry for myself. You know what? You're probably the member that's most needed in this body. Not to where you're crying and you're feeling sorry for yourself, but you're important in this church body right here. God placed you here. God has a purpose in you being here. Don't you ever forget that. And you say, well, I can't sing like Russ. I can't play like Karen. And Karen sang with Russ. I didn't mean to just leave you out completely here and that. But good job, both of you. I can't do a lot of things like other people can, but I can do what the Lord has blessed me with doing. Every single one of you. Every single one of you. Those members which seem to be... Paul, writing in another place, said, receive those who are weak among you. Receive them. You know, we've got churches and we've got deacons, not here in this one, in those churches who seem to think that they're the ones who should make the decision as who becomes the members of the church. I've had that sad experience. I've had some deacons who thought God had made them the doorkeeper or the watchman or whatever. Lord only knows. I'm surprised they didn't think of them. They do think of themselves as God whenever they think they can look into the hearts of the individual and tell whether or not they're qualified to become a member of the church or not. They've equated themselves with God because you can't look in the heart of an individual and tell. But we've got some to think they can. Let me tell you something this morning. God's the only one who can look into the heart of the individual. But he can do it, and he does it. And after that, he's redeemed that soul, and he's placed that desire in their heart for them to place their life on the candlestick. And he teaches that in his word, that we are to place our light on the candlestick, that it may give light to all those who are in the house. And I thought, that maybe you were going to sing This Little Light of Mine this morning. That's another little kid's song that we all probably learned at some time or another. But let me tell you something. Every one of us as a child of God need to let our lights shine. We need to have our light on the candlestick if we're one of His children. Paul said, receive those who are weak, not under doubtful dispensations. You know, you're not all at the same spiritual level. There are some of you who are more spiritual than others. But you know what Paul said about that? For you that are spiritual, he said, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Every member. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor. And our uncomely parts have more abundantly comeliness. You got to think about that. You see, we're supposed to work together as a body. For our comely parts have no need. But God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. Someone said to me not long ago, said, well, somebody said that this is just the cliques in the church. And that startled me. I'm going to be honest with you. I'm not aware that there are any cliques in this church. If there are, somebody better come and tell me. Because that needs to stop. You know, there shouldn't be any little cliques. Now, there are going to be people who do more things than others. But you know why they do? I'll tell you exactly why. Church is unique in this respect. They'll work a good horse to death. You get somebody who will work a little bit and who will volunteer to do something, and man, they'll just pile it on and keep piling it on as long as they keep saying yes. And there will be others who you can beg and plead with tears in your eyes and just, no, I can't do that. And they've got all kinds of reasons why they can't. So what do? You go to those who will and who do. That doesn't make them a clique as far as I'm concerned. I just say somebody is having to pick up somebody else's workload. And every one of us have a responsibility in the church. There should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. Now listen, and whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Now, I want you to think about that. One of the members of this body is suffering, we all are suffering. When one of the members of this body hurts, we all hurt. But now listen, he said, and if or one of the members be honored, all the members rejoice with it. We're able to rejoice. I cannot help but think about the times that we're always having prayer requests. Everybody's always got a prayer request. You know, hardly a Sunday goes by. If somebody has a prayer request, I'm looking around and say, well, what's wrong? And what's the one I can say, are we all caught up? But listen, we don't need to only pray, but sometimes we need to praise. And so we've had a couple of praises this morning. And hopefully you all, more than one, three, I guess, I'm thinking of real quick. But we all rejoice over the praises that people have. We all probably need to praise more than we do. Amen. We're always asking God to do something, but many times we forget to thank Him when He does come through for us. We many times ask the church, oh Lord, oh church, pray. And then when the church prays and something happens, we forget to say, thank you. Not to me. First of all, to the Lord, and then the church. I'm going to hurry around. I'm watching it. Don't worry. I'm not going to run until 11:30. But this service is going on after I finish here, so just keep that in mind. Now, ye are the body of Christ and members in particular. And God has set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, and after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Have all the gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way. Gotta read 13. That's the more excellent way. Of all the things that God placed in the body, they all come down as to whether or not they are executed and carried out of love. That's the more excellent way. Even though I speak with the tongues of angels and of men and have not charity, I become as a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. Yea, so I give all my goods to feed the poor, and on and on and on. The next chapter, the love chapter. So we'll read that one. But let me just say this in conclusion this morning. I would challenge each one of you as a member of this body to think about, first of all, how good God has been to you. How good he has been to allow you to be a part of this body. How thankful and how proud you should be of being a part of this body. And also to understand that as a member of this body, you do have a function to perform, every single one of you. Not based on what the preacher thinks, not maybe on what any committee thinks, but how God moves in your heart. That's the key thing right there. And then we need to certainly be appreciative and thankful for those who have been here before us. I think many times of the preachers who have stood in the pulpits here and preached the word. Many of them under much greater hardships than I can even imagine. Many of them at great sacrifices, which I have never been called upon to make. But I appreciate their faithfulness and the fact that they stood true. For those people, and at times there were very few of them. We think of ourselves as a small group, but there were times when this church was much smaller than it is now. And those people stayed true to the Lord. And we have the privilege then of being here today. And the challenge is, are we going to stay true to them so that future generations will still have a place here at Elkton to come and to worship the Lord? Now, if you think for one single second that that just would not ever be anything other than that, let me assure you this morning, there are many of the churches that several, that I've preached at in the past who no longer are in existence. And that's in a short period of a few years. They're not there. They don't have anyone anymore. And it can happen very quickly. If you think I'm kidding you, look around. Look around here this morning and see how many generations it'll take before that there won't be any of you.